Well, I have with me today, I have a power drill and a board, okay? You got to put it the right way. So y'all know what's going to happen if I do this, right? When I do
Can you do this on Shabbos? Can you do this on Shabbos?
Oh, yeah, I can do Shabbos.
Apparently, I can't do it at all, but... I just grabbed the first screw that came to mind. I'm not so bad at this. At least I have the drill.
Well,
that does something.
You made a very nice
deck. Yeah. Well, here we go. I got the right bit here. Okay. Can I do this on Shabbos, by the way? There we go. What if it's not a power drill?
No.
Why not?
As long as you don't finish it, as long as you put it in half.
I could do this?
Oh, I
don't. For what purpose? Because I feel like it. Who cares what the purpose is?
Makes you feel good.
Makes me feel
cheap. What? You can do it with toys.
What? Can I do that?
No.
Take a screwdriver and screw a screw into a board.
No.
Why not?
You're making something.
What's the malacha? Sweeping? This is sweeping?
Screwing.
Screwing. Screwing is a kind of?
Building.
Thank you. There's a malacha called bone. Okay? So you're not allowed to build, right? Can we all agree?
Yeah.
What did they do to build in the Mishkan? And when did they build in the Mishkan? When did they build in the Mishkan? What?
The weekday.
What in the Mishkan was building? What building was that? The Mishkan. They had to build the Mishkan, right? They had to put the thing together. So this is where we come into the interesting problem. What is bone? This is a David Barshan question. How do you define this act of bone, of building? I guess we'll find out. So then, I have a screw and a screw and that's been driven in. I have cheese, and this is a good wild card. I got cheese here, and I have
snow.
Okay. Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Where's it going?
Fort on Shabbos.
Can I build a snowman or a fort on Shabbos?
Can you make a snowball?
Can you make a snowball? What's the connection between the screw and the plank and the snowball? We'll see in a few minutes. Okay, and the cheese. That's the monkey's wrench in the whole thing. So before we talk about what to do, whether you can make snowballs or whatever, we first have to talk about snow. Because as we all know, you can't touch snow because... Can you touch snow on Shabbos? Can you pick up snow on Shabbos? No, not touch. Can you pick up snow? Can you throw snow? Nobody ever heard this?
It's not moksa.
Why? It's interesting that you write that, because I wrote him looking for a source, and he writes me back, one second, he said, isn't snow moksa? Has anybody, nobody ever heard that before? Is snow mukta? Larry, have you heard that?
No.
You never did?
Hi, where's talking to
Razel?
Yes, I don't know. We mentioned that this afternoon. I told them I was talking about snow. So the first question we have to ask is, well, why would snow be mukta? Okay, because it's a common conception, misconception, whatever you want to call it. What?
About melting?
So, can I take ice out of the freezer?
Yes.
It's going to melt. I get the benefit of throwing a snowball at you. You don't get the benefit. I do. No? Does it work for you? Okay. So the first thing you have to know is, there's a halakhic principle called nolad. Are you familiar with people?
Yes.
Yeah. What's nolad? What does the word nolad mean literally?
Born.
So the halakha we're going to see is something that's nolad, that's created on Shabbos or Yom Tov, is by definition muksa. In fact, some people suggest it's a super muksa. Why? What is the definition of muksa?
Something you can't move.
No, that is not the definition of
something
a book
you have no purpose for.
What?
Something you have no...
Very good, Julie. Set aside. Something that's huktza is set aside. So therefore, you've heard the term, or maybe you haven't heard the term, the term muktza is also used in conjunction with, let's say, the decorations of your sukkah. Have you ever heard of that? That the decorations of your sukkah are muktza. They're not muktza the way that the Shabbos is muktza. It's a different kind of muktza. It's set aside. Huktza l'mitzvasa. Set aside. That's what muktza means. Muktza is anything that you didn't designate for use on Shabbos. The rabbis designated, decreed, there are certain items that you could not designate. Meaning, I could not designate that I want to use this drill on Shabbos. I can't. I could designate that I want to use it for a permissible purpose. I could do that. But the rabbis designated that for its intended use, I could not pick it up, etc., etc. Okay? There are many types of muktzah. We studied a couple of them, but not all of them.
Since you can't use them, you also can't pick up our muktzah, right?
Things that you can't use that you cannot pick up are muktzah. Like a stone. You walk by, you're walking in the street, rocks are muktzah.
You can pick them up.
Uh-uh. Well,
sticks are...
Oh, no.
Why can't you pick them up?
Because you're not allowed to handle something that's muktzah.
No, I mean something you are physically incapable of moving.
Yeah.
Is not muktzah.
If you can't move it, right, then you can touch it. Correct. You can lean on it, things like that. You can lean on a car. People don't know that.
Right, a car is not
muktzah. Right, a car is not muktzah since you can't move it. That's correct. Okay, so what is this concept of nolad? So the most obvious example, it appears in the beginning of Maseches Be'ah, it's called. That's how it's pronounced, Be'ah, which is an egg. So it says the Mishnah, Be'ah shenolda b'yom tov. Let's say an egg was born, was laid on Yom Tov. Beit Shammai omrim tochav, u'beit Hillel omrim lo sochav. So you end up with a huge machlokes. Beit Shammai, the house of Shammai, was more lenient in this case than the house of Hillel. Beit Shammai says, go ahead and eat it, enjoy. Beit Hillel says, no, you can't eat it until after Yom Tov. So the question really is, why? So the Gemara goes on to a two-page discussion about why you can't eat the egg on Yom Tov according to Beit Hillel and why you could according to Beit Shammai. So let's skip down to where it says Gemara. Okay? Gemara says, B'mai askinan. What are we talking about? Ilema b'tarnegoles ha'umeret la'achila. Let's say it was a chicken that you were going to kill. Right? You're going to eat it. What do you mean? How are you going to eat the chicken on Yom Tov? You're allowed to slaughter a chicken on Yom Tov. That is permissible. There's nothing wrong with it. Why? Because how else are you going to have fresh chicken? They didn't have refrigerators. No empire, no cellophane, no Crayovac. Okay?
Oh, I saw that. That happened in...
You saw the Sheikh Street on Yom Tov?
Mm-hmm. Because where I live in Israel, Palestine.
Yeah, Palestine, yeah.
We had this chef on the second day of Yom Tov.
Second day Yom Tov?
The next day, because we didn't have refrigeration.
Right, on Yom Tov.
Yeah.
If you wanted to eat chicken, and then you salted it, and you plucked it, you did the whole thing. I think that, I personally believe that our children are missing something, and that they've never experienced shechita. They don't really know where meat comes from. It's just kind of there. You know, you buy it in the store, as opposed to knowing that, you know, where it had to come from. Okay? Where does meat come from?
From one
staff. From one staff, right.
Right.
Well, you know what? That's part of life. If you're talking about an animal, a chicken that you were going to eat before, my time, my would be Beit Hillel. Why would Beit Hillel say you can't eat the egg? Uchla de afart hu. It's meaning if I ever had intention before Yom Tov to eat this thing, so it laid an egg. Whoop-de-doo, but I had the intention to eat the chicken and everything in it. And the egg was in the chicken, wasn't it? It was ready to come out. So therefore, it's just food. Ella betarnegolet de be'almeret legadel beitzit. So rather, it was an animal that you didn't intend to eat on Yom Tov. You had intended for it to lay eggs. My tabai de Beit Shammai. So then why did Beit Shammai say that it's permitted? Muktzahu. It's muktza. So instead, Gemara says, "My Krishna, maybe Dilma Beit Shammai less lay muktza." By the way, you should know we all understand. We know muktza. But Beit Shammai, there was an opinion during the times of the Mishnah that there was no such thing as muktzah. It was a rabbinic ordinance. Beit Shammai, maybe they don't even agree that there's such a thing as muktzah. So Gemara explains, Kasal Kadaitin, because we think, Afilu man disharei the muktzah, even someone who permits muktzah, touching something that's muktzah, the nolad asar. When it comes to nolad, nolad is super muktzah. Why is nolad super muktzah? Correct. You can't, meaning, okay, it's one thing to say, well, I didn't intend to use this rock. But, all right, you know, if the rock came along and I needed the rock, then I could use the rock on Shabbos. But you can't intend to use something that didn't exist before Shabbos started. It only came to exist now. The egg didn't exist before. Now it exists. So there's no way to say, well, I really intended to use it before. You didn't intend to use it before. You had no such intention. So
it was a great delicacy to have, I mean, I remember my grandfather.
Eggs?
Unborn eggs. The eggs that are inside the chicken every once in a while.
Those were good.
You could, you would have a chicken that was ready to lay the egg, but the, I guess whatever, the shell wasn't formed.
Without the shell, yeah.
And it wasn't formed, that was inside the chicken.
Could you eat it raw, or you had to cook it?
Yeah, you cooked it. With the same way that you would with the chicken.
What did it taste like?
I don't know, Jada wouldn't let us try it. I mean, one egg, one option, that one was
our family was giving you the
And it was, you put it in soup. You usually ate it in soup. It's like the, like you
right.
Eat a canadle. Because you don't see them anymore.
Right, because they get rid of the couscous.
The bush winter doesn't happen.
But could you say before Shabbos, I know that chickens lay eggs, and if this chicken lays eggs on Shabbos, then I'll be able to use them.
No, because you didn't intend to eat the chicken. You didn't have. You can't have an egg that doesn't exist in mind.
Well, that's what I said. So if the egg was unborn, it's still inside the chicken, but you had the intention to eat the chicken, and anything else that was inside of it.
I don't know.
I guess it doesn't come up these days.
How about the chicken legs?
Okay, so look at Tosfos. Okay, Tosfos is on the left hand side. The Tosfos on the left hand side of that source. Okay, Tosfos says, "Kasalka daitin da'afilu man d'sharei mukta benolad asa." Even a person who says mukta is okay, nolad is not okay. We're going to get to the snow in a few minutes. Okay, you see where I'm going with the snows, don't you? Okay. D'lo makse inish my d'chazile. A person does not make something mukta, something that's chazile, appropriate for him. Aval hanolad lo have a yad ameyetmo, but something that was born today, he didn't know from yesterday. B'tema dahar Rabbi Shimon shari d'shari b'mukta shari b'nolad. So we have a source where Rabbi Shimon permitted nolad. Kanimina b'shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein masikin b'shuvei kelim. Rabbi Shimon matir avagav dahave nolad. So they had. Let's say you had a kli, you had a barrel, and it broke. So the broken pieces are not the same as the barrel. So can I use that on Yom Tov in order to burn something up? Can I use it as firewood? So Rabbi Meir was matir. He says, "V'yesh Omer, de lo dami, top of the very first white line. Dehai nolad dehacha havi nolad fe." So there are two types of nolad. First type of nolad is nolad something that exists and then it changes. But this nolad of the egg is even a super nolad. What's a super nolad? So mitchila lo haya ba'olam. It never existed in the world. Okay, but Hashem high kli haya ba'olam. It was a kli. It was a barrel. Rakshin nishbar. Okay, but it broke. So we see that something that's super nolad is for sure would be mukta. Why? Because it didn't even exist. So what do you say about rain? Let's say it's raining, and I don't have plumbing. What do I have? I got a well. My sister. And if I want, I gotta, you know, go down and drop the barrel to the well. If I have an Eruv, what if the Eruv went down? I don't have plumbing. We ran out of water. My daughter is thirsty. Lo and behold, I'm so lucky it's raining. Can I put a little cup under my gutter and collect the water and drink it?
According to this, no.
According to this, it would seem no. Why? Because it's nolad. It's not only nolad, it's super nolad. Okay? Why is it super nolad? What?
Didn't exist.
Look at the base Yosef. The base Yosef says in Orachayim Shin Yud Aleph, the source number 2, or the arrow pointing to it, is snow nolad. Kasav Shibole Halakit. Shibole Halakit is a halachic source. B'shem Rav Chemes Gon. It's a bishon. Matar Hayored B'Shabbos UbeYom Tov. Rain that falls on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Even though it wasn't cloudy yesterday, you're allowed to wash and you're allowed to drink such water. Why? Because we had the conclusion was, The water, did it exist yesterday?
Sure
it did.
Yeah.
It existed yesterday. It wasn't here. Where was it?
In the clouds.
It was moving around in the Avim, in the clouds.
The same principle, same argument from presenting the sacred.
From the egg?
Yes.
That's what
I'm saying.
Right.
It doesn't form 1, 2, 3.
Right.
How long does it take? I don't know. How long does it take an egg to form? How long does it take an egg to form? Sarah? What? You're the only farmer here. How long does it take an egg to form?
Yeah, well, then. I would say it's probably at least a week.
No, it lays eggs every day.
But the same chicken doesn't lay the same egg.
What is this?
What is what? Boxer?
No, it looks like a prune.
A prune?
It came from Washington.
If you can't tell, okay.
It changed what?
You can't tell. Okay.
No, but so a chicken won't lay the same egg. He may not lay every day, maybe every third day, fourth day, so that's how long it would take.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Larry? Akasha, I don't know. Good question. Okay. The water, the avim, is the clouds, neidad naide, moves around. Velo have mukta. Okay? It's also not mukta. So Gemara says, hashta de asis lahachi, now that we come to this, mayim de ukainis. What is the ukainis? May ukainis?
No.
I think it's a Mediterranean, I think. It's definitely a body of water.
Oh.
Or the ocean. Ukainis, the ocean. May nad naidi. They also move around. Visharu. And you're allowed to draw water from the ocean. V'tanya nami yachi, we also learned, the haris ha-moshrim, umayinos ha-novim, water that's flowing in rivers, harehen kiragle kol adam. They walk like people. They're like people. So can you draw water from the river on Shabbos and Yantiv? Yes, you can. And it's not mukta. It always was in existence. Look at the Shulchan Aruch, v'halacha, simen shin lamid ches. Ches, this is number 3. Mutar litain kli tachas hadelef b'Shabbos. You can put a vessel under the gutter on Shabbos. V'im nitmaleh, and if it fills up, shovcho u'machzir limkamo. You pour it out and you put it back. V'hushi hadelef roi l'rechitza. That's if only if the water coming out is good water. If not roi l'rechitza, fine. Then you can't because it's going to be then it's going to be disgusting. Okay. Look at Mishnah Berurah number Lamed Lerechitza, De'ein al Matar Hayored Shame Mukta Onolad. Because on the rain that falls, there's no such thing as a name of Mukta or Nolad. The Yachol Vistoso Olichot Mimenu, and you can drink it or wash of it. Ruhu Adini Mirai Rakmus Yesmanim. It's also very good if it's only good for our animals to drink. So we see, so therefore, rain is not mukta. Why? Because it was always there. It's not nola. It was there, you just didn't see it. You couldn't collect it. It was in the form of water vapor. It was in the clouds. So it came to your house, l'chaim. Enjoy a good drink. Okay? What about snow?
Same idea.
Same thing. Turn the next page. Some poskim rule that snow is mukta. This ruling applies to snow which fell before Shabbos and Yom Tov, as well as to snow which is fell on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, now seeing this, by the way, this is from the Mukta book. There's a halachic book in the library called Mukta. Some of you might have it. Seeing this, could this relate to Nolad? Could this be an issue of Nolad?
No.
No, why?
Because it came before Shabbos.
Came before, even so it came before Shabbos, so it can't be Nolad. So then why would snow be mukta? Right. That's because a posek would come along and say, listen, who uses snow? So since snow is not normally used, therefore by definition it's mukta. So that's what he says. He says snow is not normally eaten or fed to animals and considered mukta machmas gufo, like sand or stones. If the snow was collected before Shabbos or Yom Tov and designated for use on Shabbos or Yom Tov, it is not mukta. So maybe, why do I have to collect it? What if I said, you know what? All the snow in my backyard, I'm going to be making a snow fort tomorrow. I want to make it non-mukta. Could I do that? Julie's just shaking her head. Why not? Ooh, that's my question. Okay. Other poskim rule that snow, providing it is not too dirty to use, is not mukta. Okay, so that's a machlokes
between two different poskim. Use meaning what? You know, when you say too dirty to use for what?
What would you use snow for? Honestly. Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that's my question. We don't use snow to drink from. Right. We don't use snow for anything. Why? Because we're so spoiled we have water coming out of our tap. And then we don't use that water. We buy other water that we drink. Okay?
You live in a caffeine-making country. What people do is there's a very famous dessert that they take the snow and you pour warm maple syrup on the snow.
Sure, snow cones.
And it's like a snow cone, so you would be eating the snow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been in New York City. They make snow in the middle of the summer, and the guy saves the snow, and you pour out fruit flavors.
But I'm talking specifically...
I bet you could do that with our snow.
Absolutely.
Probably good. Anybody hungry?
Well, the only reason you wouldn't is because there may be the issue of, what do they call it, the acid rain.
Oh, come on, you know.
It's pretty dirty sometimes.
You think so?
I mean, I tried it.
It always seems clean, doesn't it?
So,
yeah, I don't know.
Hey, it's got 27 inches in New York. Don't
eat it. Yeah, thank you. Cheryl said no. You send the dog out, you know. Yes. Look at number 10. Look at. Again, as I try to show you often, the footnotes are the most fun part. I am Eshkashavdi Leal Bahar Lezayin. He says you have to look at footnote 7, and I basically gave you some of the sources of footnote 7. Shamati, I heard Mehagon the Moshe Feinstein Shlita. Okay, so you already know when was this book written? Before he died, which is 15-20 years ago. Since nobody uses snow, and also snow is not considered animal food. Havale mukta. It's mukta. V'lom yibayi shalek shenafo b'shabes v'havei le nolad. Not only is it snow that fell on Shabbos, that's nolad. El afilu nafo l'tzneh Shabbos mikom makom mukta havei. Okay? Nonetheless, it seems to be that it would be mukta. It says, but. Let's look at the Shemir Shabbos Tiel Chasa, because he points you there. Source number 5. Okay? Source number 5. All right, before we get up, let's just read the first part. Asur lasot kudure sheleg o bubot sheleg. What are kudure sheleg?
Snowballs.
What are bubot sheleg?
Snowmen.
You can't make snowballs with snowmen. Aval hasheleg atzmo eino mukta gam im yarad b'shabbat. But snow itself is not mukta. So you have a machlokes. It's a machlokes if you have Moshe Feinstein. At least a Moshe Feinstein as it was stated. Or a Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Okay? And you know, I mean, so you want to say, you want to use the snow for something? You can't use it. Now, by the way, it is interesting to note that Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, they might be coming just from different perspectives. Could that be? I don't know. Maybe how was the water utilities in Israel in the 1980s? Did people use snow? Did they collect snow? Was it something that you would use?
And you would use every teapot of water you want to use, but how much snow would fall? It wouldn't be that much.
Right. It's just interesting. So if someone's almond fell, it's not mukta. I showed you why he said it's not mukta. Now you also understand why Rabbi said it is mukta. Why is it mukta? He said, who uses snow? What do you use snow for? The only time I ever used snow, I remember, was I'm driving around, and the washer fluid on my car died. Yeah. All right, so have you ever tried to drive 2 days after the snowstorm without the washer fluid? Can't see anything. So every now and then I would have to stop the car, take a bunch of snow from on top of the car, mish it around on the windshield, do the wipers, and then I could go for another, 10 minutes. Not so safe.
No.
Okay. Don't do that. So now we know. Okay, so Machlokes, can you pick up the snow? Can't you pick up the snow? Our custom is to follow the opinion of Rav Moshe. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was a pretty big rabbi too. Okay? So, but why can't you make snowballs?
You're forming something. No?
Boner. You left your head or you knew that?
No, the beginning of the senior head though had a purpose.
Oh, that's correct. Okay.
He was listening.
Boner. So what in the world is the connection between this, between building and making a snowball? How do you get from there to there? The answer is cheese. What's cheese? So the Rambam tells you, look at source number 6, making snowballs. So the Rambam, he first introduces different aspects of Hilchos Shabbos. So he says, Hatolada, what is it? There's something called an Av Malacha and a Tolada. Av Malacha is the main Malacha, but most of the transgressions are not the Av Malacha. Most are the Toldas. Toldas are the children, the baby Malachas. Okay? Both are Isurei Dioraisa. So the Rambam is describing what's the difference between an Av and a Tolada. You understand what I'm saying, Jerry? Mm-hmm. Good. Hatolada, ki ha-malacha ha-dome la'av mi'elu ha'avot. The tolada, the baby malacha, is the thing that's comparable to the av malacha in some way. Ketad, how is this? Ha-machatech et ha-yerek me'at me'vashlo chaya. Ha-reza chaya. Someone who cuts vegetation into small pieces in order to cook it on Shabbos. I mean, you take an onion, you chop it up very finely. Why are you chayav? From what? What are you chayav for? Do you know? He says, Kizu hamalacha toledet techina. That is, it's a derivative of grinding. Why? Shatochen, one who grinds, lokea guf echad, you take one big thing, umechalko legufim hadet. You take an onion and you put it in the grinder. What does it do? It takes one onion and smushes it very finely. So at some point, when you cut it fine enough, you're ultimately doing the same thing. Okay? And we talked about that, right? We talked about that 2 years ago. We talked about tochen. V'chein alokeach lashon shol matachet. Let's say you take a piece of wood. V'shafo to kidei likach mi'afro. And you file it. You're going to take from its filings. Kedach shosim tzorfei zahav, like the goldsmiths do, right? They file down, melt down that gold, and then use it for whatever. Hareza toledet techina. That's also a kind of grinding. Ah, you'll say, I'm not grinding, I'm not putting it in a grinder, I'm not smushing it up, I'm not grinding. No, what's grinding? Grinding, you have to take every malacha and ask, what is the malacha? And the malacha is, in grinding, it's taking one solid and breaking it down into smaller pieces. So in this case, if you're doing that, you're chayav. So Rambam said something else. V'chein, halokeach chalav, if someone takes milk, v'natan bo keba, and you put in a keba, rennet, kidei lechabzo, in order to, what's the word? To churn it? No, there's a word.
Curdle
it, thank you. What happens when you put the rennet in, or that acid, that special enzyme in?
Takes the milk and makes it into, chops it into smaller pieces, you get curds in a way.
No, it doesn't chop it. Bo-rare. It separates it. It's going to make all the solid come together, and it's going to make all the milk go to the outside. I've never actually seen cheese made. Has anybody ever seen cheese being made? Yeah? What does it look like, cheese in the middle? Do they say what it looks like in the middle of making it? Like it's a soft, like a jello kind of thing, isn't it?
Like custard. Imagine a custard.
Okay. Like if it's liquidy, all the liquid comes out. It oozes out.
Have you ever had flan, for example, Mexican?
Flan? No.
Okay, that's what it is. It's rubbery, sort of, and it has water on the outside. But it's like bathing in it.
Or if you've ever taken cream, real cream,
mm-hmm.
and you want to whip it, go a little bit too far. You make butter.
Okay.
It's
butter.
That's what it is. It's the same idea. It's not, you have to run it, but what happens is that you get all the milk, the buttermilk.
On the side.
On the side, and you get like clumps of the butter. And then what you do with the butter is you just put pressure on it in a mold, and it squeezes out all the liquid.
Hmm.
It's the same idea, but with cheese it doesn't separate. You just have like a block. It looks like a block. Like a bathtub. If you imagine taking a block of jello,
yeah,
or even the cold jello, if it melts a little bit, you know how it gets runny on the bottom?
Yeah.
That's what cheese looks like.
Right. So that's bowrack. Why?
Right.
Yeah, right. I'm going to try to make cheese. That'd be fun. But you need real milk, though. Don't you need the original milk?
Yes.
You can't use like whole pasteurized milk, can you?
No.
You can use yogurt.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Shall we
used to make leaven.
I don't even buy leaven.
What?
Oh, I don't even buy leaven.
Oh, I know, but I was on a farm.
I remember one summer I was in Israel on a program called Achi, where we went and taught these Ethiopian children, and it was an agricultural school, so they had a little farm there. So every day they had milk from the cow, but it was hot milk. They had to boil it first, but it was. Milk. It was the whole milk. You never drank milk like this before. I was on, you know what I'm saying?
Well, sure, because they kept right out of the cream.
Oh, yeah, it was gross. Okay. We didn't mind. We were in the college. We didn't care. Okay. So therefore, that's borer sha'arei hifrisaku min ha'chalav. You separated the cheesy part from the milk. The im gibno, the asau gvina. If let's say you then made it into cheese, what's the word gibno? To cheese it? I don't know, whatever you're going to call that word. There's a word. I forget what it is. I looked it up. Coagulate, thank you. If you coagulate it, you put it together, right? You're joining it. Chayav mishum bona. That's a chiyuv of bona. Why? Not coagulation. You're gathering together and making it into a mush, pressing it. Right. Shekol hamekabetz chelak el chelak. If you gather together one piece to another piece, v'davak hakol, and it's all stuck. Until it makes one item, one guf, one body. What did I do when I took a screw, right, and I screwed it in to my little board? I took two things that were separate, and by force, or however I did it, right, now I have my closet home, I can go back the other way. However I did it, using force, using glue, using sticks, using whatever, using the forces of nature, I've now taken that two things and I've made it one thing. That's bona. Says the Rambam, you make cheese, if you took a bunch of jello-y coagulating dairy goop,
cottage cheese,
thank you, and you mush it together,
and you get one
block of cheese, you built it. That's building.
It's very troublesome. That's just that, for instance, you couldn't make matzah balls on Yom Tov because you're taking lots of little matzah powder and building it together into one ball. Or you couldn't bake a cake because you're taking lots of little stuff and putting it together into one big hunk.
You should know there is a principle called Yesh Binyan Bo'okli because cheese was the example of the Rambam. So we hold that there is such a thing as building something together. So it's an interesting question. Where the malacha of building ends, where it begins and where it ends. So now let's look. You notice how I'm coyly not answering your question. Yeah, those are clever, right? So now let's look back at source number five. You like that, George? Did you notice? Okay. Okay. Source number five. Asur lasot kedubei sheleg o bubo sheleg. Why can't you make snowballs? Kuftet. See the little footnote? Kuftet. Meha de Rambam Perek Zayin Mehilchos Shabbos Halacha Vav. The Rambam we just saw. Kol hamekabetz chelek el chelek. V'dava kakol ad yasu guf echad. If you bring together different pieces until it becomes one guf, dome lebinyan. Okay? That's considered like binyan. But just like I made cheese, if I take my snow, take out my gloves, I put it together. Now I have, what do I have? I have a snowball. I took a bunch of disparate pieces and I put them together and got myself a snowball. Wow, that's cold. Okay. Right? So that you're not allowed to do, says the Shinur Shabbos and many other poskim on Shabbos. So the snow itself in America is muksa. In Israel it's not muksa. The Chamazam said it wasn't muksa. But making snowballs is muksa. So even if you said, well, I want to designate my whole backyard or a whole thing so that I can have a snowball fight on Shabbos. No, you can't do that. Why? Because you can't make the snowballs. You can't make the snowman. Because that's considered bona. Who would have ever thunk it? Okay? So now, what would happen, though, if I would say, okay, so I tell you what, I'm going to make my snowballs before Shabbos. And then I'll have plenty of snowballs. I'll leave Mount Zion. And I'll be ready to have a snowball fight on Shabbos. Can I do that?
You're crazy, Emma.
What, you think kids aren't crazy? They don't have what to do?
Sure.
What?
You should be able to.
Could I throw the snowball?
If
you have a neighbor.
There's a neighbor. We have a neighbor.
Why not?
What?
Why not?
No, because it looks like a basketball. And you can't play ball.
What?
No, the kids play.
Is it snowball mucked up?
Well, if you, what, if you set it aside.
If it's already been made before.
I made my snowball. I designated it for throwing.
What is it?
What's that? What would I want to say?
She's going ahead.
She's cheating. You didn't make.
Throwing snowballs you didn't make. Okay. So he says, it's just interesting.
I didn't read it.
The question is.
So the answer is what?
What?
Are you telling us the answer?
I'm not telling you yet.
Oh.
The question is, when you throw the snowball, you're going to be smashing it. Right? So if this making the snowball is building, is smashing the snowball destroying?
Yeah.
So then it would seem that I'm not allowed to throw my snowball because then I'd be breaking something. Let's say, for example, am I allowed to do this on Shabbos with a manual screwdriver?
No.
Right. What?
No.
Right. That's the malacha of stira. It's a malacha d'araisa. There's a malacha of binyan, and there's a malacha of stira. Stira is the opposite of binyan. Stira is breaking something for constructive purposes. Okay? So I'm not allowed to do that. So am I allowed to throw my snowball?
Yeah, because it's not a constructive purpose to take it apart.
Well, I feel it's constructive.
If
I hit.
The point of throwing it is not for...
No, it's not. That's true. So let's just look at number 7 for a second. Throwing snowballs you didn't make. Why grating cheese is not so sair? So you say, well, if making cheese is bonus, so then grating cheese could be so sair. Right, taking it apart. While the making of cheese is bonus, chopping it apart, even grating it, is not so sair. Remember also, by the way, that there's no tchina ella begidule karka. It's not grinding either. Only grinding is only usher for things that grow on the ground. Right? Ain't gonna be the karkar, remember? Yeah. Is that ring a bell? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some commentaries explain that grating cheese is not so sair. Even though cheese is formed by combining curds to form a solid cheese substance, because the chopping and grating does not break down and reconstitute the cheese to its original cured form. As explained earlier, so sair is basically the reverse of bone, i.e. the act of undoing a bone construction. Therefore, upon creation, by means of combining components, so sair must then entail the disassembling of the item into its separate and original parts. Thus, so sair of the cheese could only occur if the cheese has somehow reconstituted to its original curds. Achieving this feat is probably impossible. Meaning, can you get cheese back? Can you deconstruct cheese? I'm not aware. Can I take this snowball and make it into this snow?
No.
Not quite.
Can I?
It'll still be clumps after it breaks apart.
Correct. Powdery. In making the snowball, you have somehow molecularly altered the snow. That's without a doubt true. The molecular bonds have changed. No?
I think it's more particles of suspension.
Okay, now talk about this. You think if I did this, then I'm just bringing it back to the way it was? So maybe snowball wouldn't be a really good example. So is snow like cheese, or is a snowball, is breaking a snowball, returning it, is it so sair?
It's not ever going to go back in the same way it was before.
I guess you could if you crushed it enough, if you were a good enough hit. No? Yeah, I'll tell you what. Here, Larry, stand up. I'm just joking. Okay. Thus, the same concept is true of most foods. However, according to this view, if one were to chemically break down a food composition to its isolated elemental ingredients, he could in fact be transgressing sosair, etc., etc. Okay, now we come to the next question. All right, this is halachas of snowballs. Nonetheless, we practically, in America, we hold like Ramosha, we don't really handle snow. So, especially, it's much easier when a kid gets into snowball fights on Shabbos. We just tell them, no snow on Shabbos! And they listen. As opposed to the rest of the week when they're just throwing snow like crazy, and that's fine. Okay? What about shoveling snow? May I shovel snow on Shabbos?
No.
Why not? Wait, before you look. Why not?
It's malacha.
It's malacha? Okay, let's remember, on Shabbos, we want to figure out what is the malacha. What is the act?
It's scraping.
Ah, So there's a halacha concept in binyan, in bona, called mashna gumos. Bona means building. Mashna gumos means I'm not allowed to smooth out an area, right? So especially if you ever, we talked about this, remember, with the kickball. Very good. So if you ever have a, like an area, so the first thing you have to do is make the area flat. So you're not allowed to do that. So you're not, definitely wouldn't be permitted to shovel the snow on dirt. Okay? Because then you might inadvertently be mashma gumos. So how many people have dirt in their front yard?
Well, but aren't you, when you're...
It's all concrete, right?
When you're taking it off your walkways and putting it on the grass, you're
what are you
adding
doing?
To the pile that's already there. So
good. So therefore what?
I don't know what it is.
It better be us there, that's all. I can't believe how the tables have turned. You know? Yeah, what was that thing you were hoping for? Oh, washing, laundry.
No, I did not want to do laundry.
Exactly, she did not want to do laundry. Okay. Can you shovel snow? Larry, what do you think? Can you shovel snow on Shabbos?
No.
Why not?
That's a good question.
Yeah. What could be wrong with shoveling snow? How are you building?
Why don't you're also changing the form of that.
Why can't you build it?
It's 10 degrees outside. Well, building snow is the same problem.
Right.
Right?
It's usher. That's what people are shelling.
Right, I just told you why. This is because of bonus.
So it's the same thing with...
No, I'm not packing it down. I'm just throwing it from one side to the other. I'm not packing it down.
What if it inadvertently forms a...
All right, one is intentional to put things together. Okay. Let's say it's 10 degrees outside. Nice try. It's 10 degrees outside, and also, because remember, am I allowed to walk on the snow?
Yes.
Yes, that's incidental. So the same thing. It's very light snow, fluffy snow. It's not going to pack in. It's fine. Okay? So we can all agree.
Exercise. It's exerting yourself. It's so many different ways.
Are you allowed to break a sweat on Shabbos?
Yes, absolutely.
But not for...
Exercise.
Not first.
Why do you clear your shovel, your walkway on Shabbos?
Why would you?
Yeah.
So you won't fall.
Right. So you say, okay, the whole driveway, we can all agree, you'd only do the whole driveway so you could move your car in and out. That's forbidden because it's a hachana. Whatever you want to call it.
No, you don't need it.
You don't need it.
But if you're just doing your stoop, you're so that you can get in and out.
Get in and out. Can you shovel it then?
No.
You can't?
I wouldn't think so.
You wouldn't do it.
Well, you wouldn't do it. Why not?
You wouldn't want to sweep it.
What?
Is it equivalent to sweeping it?
Why not? Plus, remember also, even if the snow might be muktza, right? One of the ways you're allowed to handle muktza things is in an indirect manner. So are you touching the snow?
No, but that's the normal way you would be
muktza. It might be normal, but it's still indirect. Right? You're not even touching the snow. You don't want to touch the snow. So the answer is, there's no good reason why you can't shovel snow. Sorry.
Doesn't look right.
What?
Doesn't look right.
What's the definition of look right?
Sheparshness.
Another one.
Back to that.
2 weeks in a row. So the answer is, Rabbi Rivia quotes in one of his footnotes, he says, one of the poskim wanted to say that you're not allowed to shovel snow because of what's called tircha yisera. What's tircha yisera? Overzealous, strenuous effort. There are sometimes some things that a person, in theory, there's no malacha involved. Let's say you said, you know, you owned a warehouse. You owned a wine warehouse. And you said to yourself, you know, I really need to reorganize the warehouse. I need to. Right? And it's a warehouse that I would actually use the wine on Shabbos. So nothing is muktzah. Right? I have all in mind that I'm going to use it. Needs to be reorganized, but it's going to take you 5 hours of backbreaking work to reorganize your warehouse. You allowed to do it? So the answer is no. Why? Because it's something called a tircha. It's too much strenuous that the rabbis didn't allow either. Look at source number 8. Okay? Otsar shel tvua. Let's say you have a storehouse of grain, okade yayin, or jugs of wine. Even though you're permitted to use it, you know, you have it available. You're not allowed to lifnoso, you're not allowed to move things around, to empty it, except for a dvar mitzvah. Kigon, for example, Shepinei Lachnas Torchem. Let's say guests came. Oh, Likvor Bobeis Medrash. Oh, we need a place to learn. Oh, my storehouse is available. So then I've got to do a lot of work to start moving things around. But otherwise, what?
I put some extra chairs.
Yeah, some chairs. Otherwise, though, you're not allowed to start moving around boxes and barrels. Why? Look at Mishnah Berurah. Even though Shemutali Stapek Mimenu Lemachalo Ulemachabemto, you need it for food or your animal's food. Say no muktza. Right? That's not muktza. The time alone we learned, Kirabi Shimon, the Leshle muktza El be grogos with Shinuchim, Shinichan, Shinich Liabshan. Unless you had, like you had raisins or dates, figs that you left to dry. So if you left them to dry and they're in the middle of the drying process, you would never use it on Shabbos. So anything that you could use, if you owned one stock, if you own a store, right, and you could go in and use the stuff, even though it was for sell, unless it's for selling, but you owned a warehouse or whatever, it's available to you because you might need something on Shabbos. Mishum didachinu biyadayim, because those things dachinu biyadayim, but lo chazan ad shebi yijabshu. Look at little Aleph. Mikol makom, nonetheless, in eino rota lihistapet bimenu, if you don't want to benefit from them, elo lahatchil bo lifnoso, but rather you want to empty it, asur lasos came the dvarishus. You're not going to do that for just for a whim, for something that you want to do. V'hatam, one of two reasons, mishum tircha, because it's a tircha, o mishum uvdin dechol, or because it's what's called uvda dechol. Anybody want to tell me what Urda Dechol means? It's a vachadik activity. Now that's a pretty broad category to get into. But people shovel their walkways during the week. You don't shovel your walkway on Shabbos. People empty out their warehouses during the week. They move things around. They put this box here and that box there and they get all switched up. You don't do it on Shabbos. So now, the question though is, well, we're going to come to this in a second. So now let's say, for example, it comes down, David Barr comes to set up the Kiddush, because that's what he does on Shabbos morning, and it snowed 3 inches. And as he's walking, he knows walking up to the shul, he knows that Mrs. Pessis is going to come in about 24 minutes, right? and she's not as sure on her feet as she would like to be. So he wants to shovel out so that Mrs. Pessis can walk up to the shul. May he do that? Absolutely he may. Absolutely. Why? Why? Because remember, the only... No, forget the Kruach. The Kruach is for sure. But the only problem is... Remember, we said that Tircha is forbidden. Look what he said, the examples. You can't do it Ela Lidvar Mitzvah. For example, what if they wanted to put out... You know, they wanted to learn in that room. Can you move everything? You could move everything out if you wanted to learn in the room.
Yes. You can do that so that for the mitzvah of having Mrs.
Hashem. Be able to walk to shul, or having somebody in a wheelchair, able to come into shul, but snow shouldn't block.
There's some of these other problems. It's not just tircha, it's, leveling the ground.
No, you're concrete, you're fine, right? You're leveling the ground on asphalt? No problem, okay. Right? Is the shovel mukcha?
Shovel was,
I would say.
Why? If the activity is not forbidden, is the shovel mukcha?
No.
All right.
Right? So, even if it is booked on the top, Rufo, is it permitted?
Yes, because you're doing an activity.
Sure you are. Except it looks funny. Right? Marisai. Pasnish. Is it really Pasnish so that people can come to show?
He just seems not right. That's what it is. He just doesn't seem right.
Shoveling snow on Shabbos or Yom Tov, 9. Shoveling snow can involve questions of bone or soser, especially if the snow has begun to melt and refreeze. Living hardened snow from the ground can be classified as mashva gumos. All right, people will dispute that. Is it mashva gumos if you have snow on the ground and there's ice on the ground? That's an argument. Frozen snow, ice, and poured concrete can be regarded halachically as part of the surface, and removing it a form of mashva gumos. Okay. Moreover, shoveling the snow from a dirt path is certainly forbidden under mashva gumos. Can we all agree? Dirt path, don't do. One, shoveling soft snow. In the case of soft snow, i.e., which has just fallen and has not begun to melt and refreeze on a concrete walk, there would be basis to permit sweeping or shoveling a narrow path to allow one to walk through from the perspective of Bonnet and Saussure. However, some posts can contend, and by the way, this is some posts, and not everybody says this, that shoveling snow is nevertheless forbidden under the restrictions of Tircha, because it is a very exertive activity. It actually is. They compare this to one who clears out a storage room or rearranges boxes and heavy items in his basement. All such large-scale projects are forbidden on Shabbos because of Tircha, even if they do not involve handling a muktzah to items, unless the space is needed for guests who suddenly arrive, or for use as a base medrash or similar mitzvah purpose. Therefore, one may not shovel snow on Shabbos even where there is proper enclosure or eruv. So unless, obviously,
is a danger of somebody falling, or you have an elderly person,
or... Right. I mean, the question is how... You know, it's a difficult question. So to be honest with you, here in Detroit, it snows on Shabbos, nobody shovels their walk. Right?
Mostly.
But I take a broom.
Is it dangerous?
Mm-hmm.
Is it dangerous?
It could be, sure.
But when my father comes...
You have, I'm sorry, even according to the law... You have 24 hours to clear your walkway.
Right.
Correct?
I don't take a shovel. I take a broom.
What? Lawyer. What if somebody walked on your walkway right after it snowed and slipped and fell? Could he see you?
Oh, yeah.
Right after?
An hour after.
No.
If you didn't do it, if you clear it and he slipped and fell and died,
then for sure he would see you.
For sure he would see you.
Right. But if he didn't clear it, he would see you anyway. Now, what would happen, this is a question for my Thursday shiur, what would happen if you didn't clear it because it was Shabbos and he slipped and fell? Mm. That would be an interesting question. What do you think, Dave?
Your obligation, well, first of all, you know, if you have an ordinance that can complain or not complain with the ordinance can affect his ability to sue you. In general, the question is you have to... use reasonable care, and so the question is, are you reasonable? And I've never heard of anybody ever saying getting away with something on the grounds that, well,
my religion forbade me from doing it.
I think you would be responsible for
within a reasonable time.
Okay, good. So it snows, lo aleinu, on the first day of a 3-day yantif, Simchas Torah, Shemini Atzeres night. It snowed, right?
Snow
Pesach. Didn't
you remember last year?
Yeah,
Pesach.
Snow Pesach. No, it was cold.
No,
it's
snow.
It didn't snow. It didn't snow.
You said
only in Detroit.
Only in Detroit is Eliyahu going to come by Shabbat.
I did say that. Right.
Snow. That it snowed so badly that in order for us to go to shul, we had to walk through this on the street. That's how bad it was.
In Pesach.
Okay.
Good. It's a 3-day Yantav this year. You know that, by the way. It's a 3-day Yantav. Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. Fine. So now it snows 12 inches. Shabbos. April 15th. What do you do? You clear it out. You start getting tickets. Policemen keep writing tickets. The Oak Park police discover there's the money. You know, it's the money today. All the Jews are starting the walkways. Tickets.
Can you put salt out instead of shoveling?
Can you put salt out?
That would be worse.
Would it be worse? The answer is yes, you absolutely can put salt out. Because salt is not mukta, it's for a purpose. And even though it's going to melt the snow, there's no issue because it's going to dissolve away.
So you don't have to shovel.
Well, I mean, 12 inches of salt isn't going to get to 12 inches. Come on.
I only have a slippery in the salt.
Right. So what do? You can say, do nothing, risk it. Let me ask you this question. What if I have a contract with a non-Jewish snow shoveler?
You told him not to come and shovel.
Did you have to?
No, he can do whatever he has to do, whatever he wants. You contacted him to do an activity.
So that, actually, we're going to talk about, I think we're going to stop here, because that's page 4, but it's a much larger issue. And that goes to the issue of hiring a non-Jew to do work for you in general on Shabbos. Well, we're going to talk about it. Very good. And it will also apply to having the guy come and, or allowing the guy to come and plow or mow or what have you on Shabbos as well. And we're going to see that mowing and plowing are very different.
Yeah.
We're going to see contracts are very different. Individual ideas are different. In public versus private are very different. And all those are very relevant halachas to our day as well. And having workers and plowing also. So if it snows this Shabbos, no snowballs, no snowmen, just walk carefully.
I don't want you to step on Shabbos. That's why I'm not coming to you.